Valley Community Church is a word church. And when we do that, we understand you are born again. A new life has begun. A life that says this: all sin has been cleansed from my life. And today, for eternity, you will live with him. Eternity and on. And in that reality of what is taking place, if you are watching online, if you're listening to a podcast, in Jesus' name, you are born again when you simply do that. I also sense that the breakthrough, the manifestation of healing is happening right now. All around the world, not just in this place, but because all around the world we're making proclamations of Jesus Christ as Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit goes out and touches lives. Those prayers that are set before God in the throne room of God are just being breathed in. It's a sweet smelling aroma to the Father. Of all the prayers that you have prayed, the faith that you have just absolutely brought out in your life for healing, restoration, relationships, whatever it may be, your finances, it's there. Let's raise our hands now and let's just receive that for ourselves. Make it personal. Make it personal. In Jesus' name, we are healed, restored. Strength is just manifesting itself in our bodies, in our minds. The devil has gone after your minds, gone after your children's minds. Try to bring confusion. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we are released from the power of hell and the power of sin. We are whole in Jesus' name. As we've learned, all tithers, that God himself rebukes the enemy. Right now in the heavenlies, the voice of God is saying, Satan, stop now. That came from the throne room of God. This is a house of miracles, a place where you are healed, restored, saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to do something. Tens of thousands of our sister churches are praying for Nigeria, especially Mogul Nigeria, where there's an attack on Christianity. Babies, children, women and men are being slaughtered because of their faith, their belief. And I'd like you, if you're comfortable with this, if not, that's okay, if you could join the hands of those that are next to you. In Jesus' name, we pinpoint the nation of Nigeria, where the president of Nigeria is a believer. In Jesus' name, we come against spiritual wickedness, terrorism, and we bind that up right now in Jesus' name. That same spirit went to Russia and killed hundreds. That same spirit is the same spirit that came to our nation and tried to destroy lives. In Jesus' name, we come against you. And we say, stop, with the authority of the powerful name of Jesus. Father, protect Christians. Protect mankind from demonic influence. And we give you praise right now that there is a move from heaven in those areas. And we pray this. Everyone say the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord an applause for today. Just go ahead and take a moment, a short moment, and just high-five someone before you're seated. Well, good morning. This past week, I had such a wonderful time. I had a lot of meetings, a lot of things taking place. Last Sunday, we had the privilege of experiencing OSL class graduating from the level. Amen. Many of you, part of that, growing in the Lord. We have the women conclude this section of their Bible studies, and so many of you ladies came out on Tuesday morning and Tuesday evening, and you enjoyed that, and God really blessed you. We had our men that had our breakfast and Bible study. Pastor Ryan taught a great word. And we had an amazing time. We laughed a lot. We had just, it's fun to really, even if some of us are in the midst of tribulation in our life, it's fun to have the joy of the Lord and to rejoice in so many attributes and things of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And again, we love to laugh, and I know we at Valley, we love sports too. And so I heard this, pretty hilarious. Heard about this young man. He was a huge Dodger fan. I thought I'd hear a little bit more louder on that. Or should I say a huge Angel fan? No, there you go. Detroit Tigers, yes, sir, yes, sir. He bought two tickets to the World Series ahead of time, not realizing the Dodgers were now in it. And it was going to be on the same day as his wedding. He paid $3,000 each for the tickets. So just like a Dodger fan, he put an ad on Facebook asking if anyone would like to go in his place. And on the end of the statement, he said, it will be at 3 o'clock at the First Baptist Church, and her name is Tiffany. Amen. Wow. You Dodger fans, I tell you. We have been going through a series on a generous life, and we're going to teach on that today, and then we're going to pause, and next week we're going to begin a mini-series on Easter and the meaning of Easter. And we're going to really move into the areas of the authority that God has given us because of the cross and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit's really brought me into that. And because we are putting that onto a generous life that changes everything, we're going to see how generous our Father was in giving us His Son and baptizing us in the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in authority and live this breakthrough life that He promised us. But let's move into a part of the Generous Life series, and I've entitled it Breaking the Spirit of Mammon. Now, I want to explain to you that Mammon is a spirit. but it also is a personality, a principality. It is a ruler in spiritual wickedness, or a persona of wickedness. And we have to understand that this is a word, mammon, that wasn't stated many times in Scripture. But it is a principality that is all over the world. It is a demonic spirit of riches, which the production of that spirit produces greed and selfishness. Greed and selfishness. Holy Spirit, you are welcome into this message. Allow me to say everything you want me to say. Lead me, guide me, direct me. In the specific words, whether it be encouraging or strong in that encouragement. Blessings upon our ears, our hearts, that we would receive the engrafted word of God into our hearts. Let it, that revelation transform us today. And we give you praise for that. And everyone says amen. Amen. The word mammon is in the Bible four times. Jesus spoke these words. It was Jesus who brought us these words, because Jesus understood and knows what this spirit, principality, can do to your life and mine. In Matthew 6:24, he says, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Now in Luke 16, we're going to read from here, he uses the word three times, and one of them in Luke 16, he's repeating Matthew 6:24. All right, so Matthew 6:24. So you'll see three times in Luke 16 and once in Matthew 6:24. Let's begin with verse 9 of Luke 16. "And I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon." Pretty interesting statement. "That when you fail," I'm going to say that again, "that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." Again, I'll explain this. "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore," because of what he just stated before that, "if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who then will commit to your trust the true riches?" We need to understand what mammon means, what it is, what it means, and we're going to do that in order to comprehend what he just said in verse 11. Let me read it again, verse 11 again. "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" And, verse 12, "if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" Saying, if you're going to open up a business, how did you treat the owner of the business you worked for before that? Verse 13 repeats Matthew 6:24. "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." Notice the contrast. Matthew 6 says, "no one." That's saying all of us here in this room watching on your TV, on your computer, no one can serve two masters. It is an impossibility to serve two masters. You either serve one. And contrasted, then you don't, you despise the other. Again, you will either hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See the contrast? So it's basically saying should not, but really it's saying you cannot. So when you read it, you're thinking of an encouragement of should not, but the Bible is saying you cannot do this. All right? So today let's answer three questions to understand what is mammon and how we take authority over mammon. How we literally destroy the work of mammon, this spirit entity, this entity, persona, personality that wants to bring destruction, and I'll say it to you, will bring the opposite of what God has promised. So here's the first question. What is mammon? Mammon is not money, but everybody thinks that. Now, I'm going to just show you what I'm doing today, and I'm being very particular today. There are different ways to look at Scripture. And in all three ways, there is a part of realizing the whole truth because you understand historical truth, you understand all kinds of different aspects of truth. The way we're going to look at it is called dynamic exact equivalency. And some of you are going, what in the world is that? All right? Dynamic exact, in other words, we're going to look at it word for word. What the literal word said and what it means. Because you can also study the word in a way of dynamic thought. In other words, thought to thought. In other words, when you study Scripture, you study a verse, you look at the whole chapter or the whole passage or the whole parable so that you understand what is being said at that Scripture, in that one Scripture, because of what is said in the whole Scripture. All right? Then you can study the Word of God, and it's a paraphrase. Some of you have a Bible that's a paraphrase of the literal Scripture, and that is good, but none of these literally basically bring out the word money. Now, the paraphrase can say that in some of the paraphrase Bibles, but it's not speaking of money, but it includes money. All right, so understand that. So when you see the exact word, it's not talking about money in itself, the way a lot of people look at a lot of scriptures about this story. So again, Jesus did not use the word money. He uses the word mammon, and again, it does not mean money. So what is mammon? To answer the question. Mammon actually means the word riches, but it's an Aramaic word. By the way, did you know that Jesus spoke Aramaic also? The word comes from the Syrian god of riches. Jesus here, because he knows who he's talking to the Jews, he knows of their past captivity with Babylonia. And so what he's bringing out of explaining this spirit, this entity, he is bringing them back to their memory of historical memory of the captivity of the Jews. So let me explain it this way. Jesus is actually referring to a spirit when he talks about this, saying, you cannot serve the spirit or you cannot serve this false deity and serve God. So let me say it another way. You can't serve this demon, this principality, and serve God. Also notice, Jesus puts the word unrighteous in front of the word mammon. All right? Money is not unrighteous. And I'm going to show you that in my second point today. So this is what I want you to see regarding what is mammon. Jesus puts unrighteous in front of it because the spirit mammon is unrighteous. So he's literally telling you mammon, spirit of riches, is unrighteous. All right, so follow me. He's saying, watch out for the unrighteous spirit of mammon. The reason he's using this word mammon is because he is speaking to Jewish people who were enslaved to Babylon for 70 years. And if you want to know more about that, come Sunday night, and we're talking about this even this evening. So what happened when Jesus said the unrighteous mammon, they automatically knew what he was talking about. They're talking about a god that at Babylonia, that the Babylonians were literally worshiping. The Babylonians were worshiping this god of riches. All right? So he's bringing this out and trying to bring us into an understanding of our worship to God. The spirit of mammon was one of the top eight spirits of Babylon, or top eight deities that they worshiped. Very demonic. The number one spirit they worshiped was the god of riches. So this was the most powerful deity, I'm using the word deity, this most powerful god in their eyes that they worshiped. Matter of fact, I will show you some things that literally that they did. Back then, and I'm going to be very straight with you, back then they didn't have birth control and or, which this is not birth control, they didn't have the evil of abortion. So because they worshiped the god of riches, when their family began to get too big, they would take their newborn babies and take it to the base of this god, and they would sacrifice by burning their babies to the god of mammon. So they would be blessed financially. Bottom line, not have as many expenses because they didn't have credit cards. This is why Jesus was using the word mammon. And again, it doesn't mean money. He's referring to an unrighteous spirit, a demonic spirit. So hear this. But all money has a spirit on it. The money in your bank has a spirit on it. It either has the spirit of God on it or it has the spirit of mammon on it. Are you with me? Okay. Let's go on. I know this is in a way deep, but I'm making it simple. So here's the answer from what we've been learning about the tithe and giving and being generous. The way you get the spirit of God on your money, last week's message, you return the first 10% of it back to God. And the other 90% is redeemed. Because a lot of times when we look at spiritual things, we think that's just this huge battle. Remember, God says, when you return the tithe, God says, I will rebuke the devourer. And there's no way that the devourer can be on your money. And the blessings of God will be fulfilled in your life, in your lifetime. So your 90% is redeemed out from under the spirit of this world or the world's economy, which is the spirit of mammon. no matter what you believe in economical system, that if it's not redeemed, it has the spirit of mammon on whatever you are working with. But because you, watch this, return your tithe, it removes that, even though it's functioning in the economic system of this world, but God's blessing is upon your money. God's anointing is upon your money. And we have to recognize that people, here's basically the answer to all our questions. Pastor, why? There's an enemy out there that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and that life full of abundance. You can't serve two masters. It's an impossibility. And so in the reality of our finances, of, watch this, and with that, remember we talked about the heart, that it's all about the heart in the first two messages of this series. And when it's the heart, then it's about the attitude of the heart. And so what we find is also a deliverance from that world's mentality of selfishness, of why should I give to that? Why should I do that? God, you're saying to me, you're asking me to do what? How can I do that? Because I can't. See, that's that spirit of mammon that's trying to crawl all over you. But you are delivered from that when you return your tithe. Because your heart, see, tithers have a heart change. It's not that you do tithing. You're returning the tithe because your attitude is you know it belongs to God. In every area of your life. If you inherit money, you return the 10%. So the other 90%. If you do all these things, in your life, and God blesses you, you return your tithe, and it continues to open up the, watch this, the windows of heaven. The reality is that's true, that the windows of heaven are open for the believer, but it's open for the believer who returns the tithe, whose heart is turned on to God, because you can't serve two masters. So in every area of our life, that's where the test is in our life to move on, all right? So Mammon is this Syrian god that Babylon worshiped. And this has been going on for thousands of years, the worship of this spirit. Babylon, watch this. Let me just tell you Babylon. Babylon means Babel on. Anybody have any friends that do that? Don't look at your friend next to you. Babylon means confusion. In Genesis 11, there's the Tower of Babel. God came down and confused them. So when you put the O-N on the end of Babel, it literally means, in the Hebrew language, sown. S-O-W-N. So Babylon means sown in confusion. You want to see confusion? Look at the world's economic system. So in other words, he's saying, you cannot serve two masters. You will live in either revelation or confusion. And the reality is we will ask the questions, why, how come it's always me, how come it happened for them and not me, how come they are blessed and not me, and we say, but I give. See, the test of the Lord is always that 10% of returning, because that 10% is not mine. And I catch myself periodically and I correct myself and I apologize to the Lord. But a lot of times I will say, and I give my tithe. I don't give my tithe. I return my tithe. because it's not mine. Watch this. It's not mine to give. It's mine to return. But church, you are above at this time, and we're believing God for 100% of you. You are tithers. You are above the national average of tithers. But there's a war going on. The war is, whom are you going to serve? Jesus was saying this. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus said, you will either love the one and hate the other, or you will be loyal to the one and you will despise the other. You can't have both. See, because a lot of people get mad at God. I do a lot of ministry outside the church. I do a lot of ministry just personally, just wherever I go, the grocery store, restaurant, you know, the club that I work out, on the golf course, all kinds of places. And what I find a lot of times is that they will ask questions, and then I would say 30, 40, 45% of everybody in the ongoing conversations that I have with people, it'll always end up with money. And it'll always end up with the church is always asking me for money. Now, let me just say this to you. Is I don't ask you to return your tithe and give offering for me. God gave Israel manna. He could do the same thing here. But I bring it up to you and I teach you and I equip you in this area because the tithing and the giving is not for me, it's for you. It's for you to bring yourself into a place where there is a destruction of the work of the enemy. Because Jesus already had gone to the cross, shed his blood, and defeated the enemy. But there are principles we live by that we open the door for God's blessing to manifest. And this is one of the major things in the area. But they always come to me and say, well, it's about money. And usually at that time, I stop. And then they ask me, well, what'd you stop? I said, I got to go work out or I got, you know, whatever. And the reason is because there is a demonic obsession in that area. And it's going to take more than a couple minutes or a minute or 30 seconds of quoting a scripture or something, because usually what it does is it brings all that anger up in people. Until they ask me, and then I say, okay, you asked me a question, but you're going to have to give me time to give you the answer. Why is that? Because a deception has blinded their eyes. And they're living their life, you know, in anger of this area. And it's not just money. It's about every aspect of our life, of the blessings of God. It's about your relationships. It's about your job. It's about your business. It's about prosperity. It's about all these things. Your health is the reality of defeating the enemy of mammon and taking authority over him by the principle of faith in returning the tithe. Some people get mad at God when their washing machine breaks. I don't get mad at God. I mean, we had a season our washing machine broke, our dryer broke, the plumbing went bad in our house. Toilets were blocked. It rained and flooded around our house because all the drainage was... So we went months. And was it frustrating? Absolutely was. Carpet being tore up, floors being destroyed, and all the different stuff, all the nuisance of all that. But I would laugh and say, God's got this. I'm a tither. God's got this. Amen. By the way, I got a nice washing machine now. So here's Mammon's persona. Mammon is looking for servants. Slavery is one of the evilest things you'll know amongst the history of this world and still today. But this is the only time in Scripture God contrasts the Spirit of God and another spirit. Why is that? Because Mammon promises you everything that only God can give you. Mammon promises you identity. Mammon promises you significance, happiness, peace, joy, and Mammon cannot deliver that. Jesus told no one that the answer to his or her problems was more money. I'll say that again in a slower way. Jesus didn't go to the lame guy and say, here's 20 bucks. Or the blind man, here's 50. You'll be better. What did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but what I have. Jesus didn't say to the woman with issue of blood, Peter, give her some money because she spent all hers. Give her more money. Nope. Because money is not the answer. Some of you say, I'd like to try. But money's not the answer. Jesus the Christ is the answer. You cannot worship riches. Satan is trying to get you to worship riches. We are happier because we have a relationship with God, and that's the focus. How many of you are like me? You're sitting in your car, or you're sitting in your front yard and this really nice car drives by. Some of you go, I don't need that. No, you go. Right? Or how many of you Dodger fans are sitting in the stands? I could do better. Speaking of contrast, we think if I had more money, I could help more people. We spiritualize it. Money doesn't help people. God does. See, I do not preach give to get. Pastor Dan, you could say without even knowing my notes what I'm about to say. I preach we get to give. Watch this. And return. You know, you find where people will be consistent and they'll give the $5, the $10, the $20, the $50, the $100, and they'll give consistent. I don't watch that, but I know that happens. All right, as a supervisor, I had to go over a lot of the finances of a lot of churches and help them in budgeting and different things. And you have people that will do that, and it's because they don't understand the return of the tithe or the 10%. And so they do that because, you know, they don't come in. They know a scripture says, don't go to the body of Christ. Don't go to the house of God empty-handed. I take that scripture as is every time, twice a month, I return my tithe, but every single Sunday, I give seed. So almost every Sunday, sometimes I come and I don't have my checkbook and I don't have any money in my pocket. There's a lot of days I don't have a lot of money in my pocket. But the reality is I will give. And in that box right there, I have my tithe and then I have a seed envelope, $20. And last week, I did the same thing. And last week, I think I had to do a $10 bill and 10 ones because that's all I had. Why is that? Because my attitude of my heart is giving. I'm not giving to get. I get to give to the kingdom of God and return to the Lord. Amen. Now remember, again, God uses tithe and giving and offering as the test and the principle. But Jesus is not talking about money. He's talking about a spirit behind all this. At Valley, we don't beg you to give. We want you to give and return your tithe. That's why we have offering boxes now. One great thing about, there's really no great thing about COVID. But what we learn in COVID, we have a bunch of returners and givers. God bless you. You were awesome during that time frame. Less money you were making, all that, but you still were faithful. And that's why we decided the boxes, and I told them, as long as I'm here, we're not going to pass out the offering plate. We're just going to put it there because it's the attitude of the heart. And if you're online, you're watching online, you're not even part of our church, but you don't belong to a church, then return your tithe online. There's a place you can do that. Why? Because it's for you, not for us. You don't have to be coaxed to give. You don't have to be coaxed to return. Again, Mammon is the god of riches that wants you to worship him. And if you do, you cannot serve Mammon and God. Now, let me just say a confusing statement. I wrote this down. And if money can fix it, it's not really a problem. And if money can't, then God can. Think about many of our problems. Ever thought this way? God has to come through. If he doesn't, then someone needs to give me some money. Here's the second question. Is money evil? The answer is no, money is not evil. Let me say it this way, money is neutral. You can use money for good, and you can use money for bad. Just like you can use your gifts for good, spiritual gifts for good, and you can use your spiritual talent for bad. All areas of your life, it's a choice, but it's who we are serving. You can use money for temporal purposes, or you can use your money for eternal purposes. Unrighteous mammon was a spirit, not money. Now watch this. Here's a scripture that we all know. I've taught this before. You know this, the Valley Community, but maybe some don't. 1 Timothy 6:10, money is not the root of all evil. Watch what the scripture says. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. The love of money, if we love money, then we're serving mammon. Verse 10 continue, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So you have to understand the love of things, the love of all this. God says, it pleases me, it pleasures me, God says this, to prosper you. That's why about robbing God is not that we're stealing money because God owns everything. We're robbing God of the privilege of blessing us because we return the tithe and we open the windows of heaven. Put that two together. We always, you know, proclaim God will open the windows of heaven. He does. How? The principality of the tithe. The principle of the tithe. Not principality, the principle of the tithe. That's how the windows of heaven are open. He's already pleasured to do that, but the principle brings it. So in this point, we have a tendency right now to feel guilty, remorse, because we're good people. Non-tithers are great people. They're great people. There's nothing evil about a non-tither. Loving and serving money or the God of riches is a root of all kinds of evil in your life. Luke 16:9, Jesus is talking, and I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon. Now you know what mammon is crazy. That when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. You know, I thought years ago this scripture meant do favors for other people, and when you need something, they'll do favors for you. How many of you know that doesn't happen? Right? This is deep. Your unrighteous mammon, if you return the first 10%, it is now blessed. That's what he's saying. If you return the 10%, that unrighteous mammon is now blessed of God. God is the only one that can take unrighteous mammon and turn it into true riches. Now let me answer to you, what are true riches? There is only one thing that will last forever that are true riches. That's souls or people. True riches are that you're ministering to people the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the tithe is returned and offerings are given and we give to missions and we gave to Boribo, we all these different things that we do is we are literally bringing souls into the kingdom of God, which is eternal life. That's the only true riches. That's what's entrusted in us. When we return of the tithe and give offering, that is entrusted to us. So what do I do with unrighteous mammon? I take it and return it to God, but I only have to return 10%. Verse 9 is saying, take what was dedicated to evil, unrighteous mammon, and dedicate it to the kingdom of God. And then when you fail, now the word fail is the Greek word die. I'll say that again. And then when you fail, you're returning the tithe, and when you fail, or when you die, here's what God is saying. Take your money and use it for the kingdom, and when you die, they, those people that came into the kingdom because of you, will welcome you into the everlasting home. And for eternity, we will be the family of God. Amen. See, it's not talking about, you know, like the old Western days, putting notches on our belt. It's talking about how because you were faithful in the little, you will be faithful in much. In other words, you will have such blessings upon your life. Now, watch this. It didn't say, because you return 10%, you're going to become a millionaire. God has no problem with that. When you become a millionaire, he wants you to be blessed. But he doesn't say that. He says, but when you return the 10%, when you allow God to be first, remember the principle of the first, principle of the firstborn, principle of the first fruits, all these things. When God is first in your life, in everything, not just money, what happens is then there will be such a blessing on you, even if you don't have much at times, that you will be blessed when God says, you know that car you have that barely gets you around? Linda down the street has two babies, and she needs a car that will get her back and forth to the doctors. Give her the car. But God, this is all I got. But God asked you to do that. Because you are so blessed and your heart attitude is there, you are willing to be that blessing. You are willing to go the extra mile. You're willing to give the second cloak. You're willing, all through the Bible, you're willing to do this. But you have to get to that place of what that unrighteous mammon is and destroy it by returning and giving to the kingdom of God. So take your money and use it for the kingdom. And when you die, people will thank you. And for eternity, you will live an eternal life with a blessing of kingdom giving. Take what the enemy wants to use for unrighteous and use it for good, the kingdom. Because money is not evil, it's who has the money. Here's the last one, and we'll finish with this. What should I do with my money? You know what the Bible tells us? Some of you are thinking, give it to the church. Be a good steward. I can't believe in today's society how people don't have financial advisors. I'm not doing commercials for the people that are in our church. But if you know them and you don't have one, go to them. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, I have too little unrighteous mammon to be concerned about what you're talking about. If I had more, I would have even taken notes. But this is for you that had the two mites. Not minus, mites. And for you are the millionaires. It's all the same. If our thinking or attitude is we don't need to be concerned because we have little, I'm going to tell you this, I promise you this, that lottery ticket will not give you that million. You'll never get more. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So what is he saying here? If you don't tithe when you make $25,000 a year, you surely won't tithe when you make $250,000 a year. God has separated the tithe to himself. Luke 16:12. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Let me apply it this way. If you won't be faithful with the 10%, why would you be faithful with the 90%? Why would I even increase your income? God says. Let's all stand, and I'm going to conclude with something here. Every one of you have to understand, this is not about church. We are good stewards here. We are good stewards with the percentage that return their tithe. But let me tell you also what God calls the church when you're returning the tithe and giving offering. He talks about a place called a storehouse. What is a storehouse? A storehouse is where you store more than you can use. Correct? And so what he's saying is if the body of Christ all around the world, that's why COVID went after the church. That's why godly leaders in states said, no, we're not closing our churches. Amen. They went after the church because they knew the power of the church and the power of the word. And when the church returns the tithe and worships and does all that we know, what we do, look at our pillars right here. You know, discipleship, healing, word, worship, leadership, all these, and we're growing and being discipled, OSL, Bible studies, all these things that we do, there's a strength that happens, and the church becomes a storehouse. To be able not to just have money to do whatever we want to do, no, because we're good stewards. How does it feel when you have a savings account? Doesn't feel good when a $100 bill takes you over budget. Doesn't feel good when a $300 doctor bill takes you into the red, budgetary terms. But we're good stewards. But can you imagine 100% we become a storehouse? Then God can say, Pastor, I want you to talk to the leadership of the church because there is something over here that there's a need. We have a storehouse and we're able to give without moving into the budget. Do we have a savings account? Yes. Are we doing that? Yes. With the percentage that return their tithe? Yes. But if we had 100%, we would be able to literally do so much more in the kingdom of God. And remember that scripture is that when we die, we all can look. And God, I'll tell you what, God writes it down. He writes it down. And he knows everything. That, well, I just returned my tithe. I wasn't on the council or the leadership team and shepherd elders and making decisions. God knew you're the one. And you and you and you and you were the ones. And the blessings that he brings at the judgment seat of Christ, which you're already going to heaven. The judgment seat of Christ is the Bema seat, which is the reward seat. That for eternity, the rewards. Remember that, again, the two mites, the woman? Jesus said, she'll be known throughout history because of her heart, not the amount. Can I pray for you? In Jesus' name, I proclaim an overwhelming blessing over every person in this house. I proclaim a blessing over every person watching online. The many, 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 many people that watch us, all the families, blessings upon your home. Satan, God of riches, I come against you in Jesus' name. All deception is removed because the truth has been preached and the truth set us free today. And I come against that spirit of mammon that has tied people up, confused people, and brought people into anger and jumped from church to church, from place to job, to job, business to business, in Jesus' name, I come against confusion. And I bring about the revelation of the kingdom of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is yea and amen. And I release now, because of a heart change in this area of our lives, I release now that coworker, that neighbor that we've been ministering to for so long, that we haven't seen them receive Christ. We haven't seen that healing. I release now in Jesus' name, total truth. By Jesus' stripes upon his back, they are healed. They are born again. They will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because deception and confusion and the God of riches has no hold. And I give you praise, because this is a house of miracles. Everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you. Don't forget tonight, Bible study, children, youth, adults in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock. God bless you.